Not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show for Monday, March 11th, 2019, with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway. Yeah. Oh, man, it's so nice to be able to see you dance in your studio again, man. It's been a while.
It is. It is. It's a mess out here, but at least I'm back out here.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
No more bug. No more black mold or whatever it was. What was it?
It wasn't black mold, but it was definitely moisture, and it was going to head towards the mold area if I did not remediate.
Yeah, you had to get in there and do the dirty job, the micro job.
That's right. Do the dirty job. Make sure them termites stay out too, because you got your damp wood. Damp wood.
Yeah, nobody likes damp wood.
They'll get in here. They're like, damp wood. I love it. Delicious.
No one loves damp wood like I do. So good to have you here and good to be here and good to have a show going. It is The Boop Show. We talk about video games. Specifically, we focus in on the weird, obscure stuff that you might miss in your AAA releases sometimes. Because Brian and I happen to like a lot of different games. We like weird little games.
We play crazy loots amounts of games.
This is all true. We have a couple of new viewers in the chat room who've never been here live. They're both, I've noticed some shocked faces as they've seen us for the first time and matched our voices with our ugly visage.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Faces
These
for radio.
These guys are like, I've never seen the Quasimodo twins. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yeah. It's rough.
I know. I don't envy them. Having to do this for the first time, but I understand.
So, are you more Quasimodo or Esmeralda? Who do you think's the Esmeralda in this conversation?
Hold on, who's Esmeralda? Is that Quasimodo's
girlfriend?
That's
the Disney version of the Hunchback,
right? But it's his lady friend, right?
Yeah, that was old Demi Moore,
Demi
right?
Moore.
Didn't she play that part?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Quasimodo's played by some guy no one knows, and then the bad guy
Ashton Kutcher.
That guy, right. No, wasn't, was it? No.
No.
They were married, those two. No, I'm thinking of the old guy. It was the bad guy in that. It was a really cool voice, and I think
he
did a bunch of video game stuff back in the day. He's dead now, though.
Oh, he did. He was, and they did a great job characterizing him as this bony-faced, evil man.
I'll tell you what.
So good.
That movie, underrated, I think. I like that movie a lot.
Absolutely.
It's gothic and
was
weird.
A little bit, I don't mean to get on that topic too much, but I've always had a little trouble with that movie because I'm used to our hero getting the lady.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen that time. He just got the hump.
No. He just has the hump. He's hanging out with George Costanza. That's all that's the best he can do.
Yeah, it didn't work out great for him. But in a way, I like that because it's a brave thing for Disney to do and not try to retrofit that too much, you know?
Agreed.
Disneyify it too much because they have a tendency to do that. So I always liked it. I don't think it was a giant hit though. I think it was kind of, did okay in theaters or whatever. But I remember my kids loving it, and that's all I cared about.
We did too. We loved it here. Hey, did you ever play the? Oh man, this reminds me now. Talking about all this, I got to go back and play some of those really crappy Disney games.
PS1
from that
era
because Aladdin was amazing. Oh. I played the crap out of that.
Dude, Aladdin was nothing wrong with Aladdin. That game was great. Came out Genesis, Super Nintendo. What was that? 5, somewhere in there. And those are amazing games. PS1 era though, everything was garbage. It was all bad.
Yeah, all bad.
I shouldn't say that. I may have something later to talk about that came from the PS1 era. That
here's a tip for you, by the way.
Give me your tip.
Familiar,
just the tip. I only want the tip. Just give me the tip.
I'm just going to give you the tip.
All right.
But I'll let you know that if you go to archive.org, they do arcade stuff too. So they have if you have ROMs, certain ROMs will play on archive.org. And I believe Aladdin is one of those.
Oh, really? That's crazy to me. It seems like Disney would own the.
That's what I said. You would think that would be like copyrighted crap from Nintendo and Disney, but I played it not that long ago. Mm. And so, I don't know.
I had it on the Genesis. Probably not the best version. I think the color palette and the sound was better on the SNES, which is often true. But I liked it. I thought it was good. And I would play that again. I thought that was all right. And then, as far as other Disney games go, they had that cool Mickey and the. Oh. place thing? Of the Castle of the Doomsayers. I don't remember the name.
Right.
Some kind of Disney side scroller thing. That was real good.
Right. That, well, you think that was the first time they got together before they Nintendo and Disney before they decided to do the Kingdom Hearts thing? You think?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Oh, Castle of Illusion. That's it, Tondragosa. Thank you in the chat. That was a great, great game. And also the DuckTales game was great. There's plenty of great 8-bit, 16-bit era Disney fare. But in I would like to say, just for the record, in the PlayStation 1 era, it suffered along with everything else.
Right. Now, I didn't really get back into any Disney video games until Pixar Disney kind of happened with the Toy Story games.
Oh, yeah. Did you play
those?
Toy
Story games were a lot of fun.
Those would have been PS. Well, the best ones are PS2 and forward, I guess.
Yeah. Right. I think it was it the N64 or the...
Might have been.
Later, possibly.
Might have been, because you'd had, let's see, N64, PS1 was sort of the same era. Mm-hmm. And you probably had some games then on both platforms, but then, and I just don't remember those, because I remember if you made a movie, that was the time where if you had a movie and then a movie tie-in video game, the game was just guaranteed to be terrible, because that's just the way it was.
Right.
They were Super NES, or the 16-bit era, some good examples of some solid stuff. But most of the time, especially when we started hitting 3D, if you were going to do a movie crossover, it was going to be effed up and garbage. It got better, PlayStation 2, a little bit, but not much. It really didn't improve, I don't think, until like late 360, PS3, early PS4, Xbox One time for certain games. There have been some good movie-based games out there. Some exceptions.
Oh, yeah.
GoldenEye was amazing. Love that game. It's great.
That was one of the best ever.
It was incredible. That was real good. And then, what's the other really good movie game thing? Can't think of it.
Movie tie-in. It's hard to beat GoldenEye. It almost doesn't even feel like it was even with the movie. It just feels like this amazing thing that just happened.
Do you remember?
By the way, room is full of information right now. We got if you ever tune in live, it's the best way to do it. Mm. Mush Potatoes has found the Aladdin 1993 on the archive.org. Mm. Got to play that. And Free Rangers is saying The Incredibles for the PS2 era was also really good. And I did play that, and I like that.
I don't remember playing that. It was good, he says. Mm. I'll take his word for it.
It was good.
He's never led us astray before in this chat room.
Never.
So let's see how this actually works. I'm going to pull up the screen. Okay, as you can see, it's got a little power button. I guess if I hit that, it starts.
Right.
Oh, look at this. Game, metadata, config file, launching emulator. Oh, wow. I don't know how they have the rights to this thing. I mean,
I don't know how that works either, because usually abandonware would qualify for this kind of thing, but this is, I wouldn't think it would be abandoned.
This is the Sega version, looks like. It says Sega abandoned.
I think this is about
version.
When I found they were doing that and a couple other things is when I actually started supporting archive.org. I give a little change here and there when I can.
It says click for good sound, place. But I can't get sound to work. All right, we're going to try it. Here we go. We got arrows working. Is it spacebar? Yep. Oh, my gosh, that big scarab. Wow. All right, I'm just trying to skip ahead here and get a little gameplay going. All right, here we go. Aladdin. Does this go full screen or anything? Make it just bigger. I don't want to go full screen.
What's the song that opens up to that thing where he's running through this? He's I'm a street rat. No, I'm not. That's not right.
I'm a hairy butt. I don't know.
No, that's not it.
I don't know. What is that?
You know that song? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think you get the words right. It sounds wrong the way. Well,
I definitely don't have the words right. But that was during the Alan Menken time, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. No, the music in those Disney days was incredible. It was really good. Did you know the live action movie was coming? But I knew you knew that. But did you know that Guy Ritchie directed it?
No, what? Get out of here.
Yeah. So everyone's been talking about, Will Smith looks terrible and what this is so stupid and all this. But then I looked it up. Let me make sure I'm not making this up because I'm pretty sure this is correct. Yeah, it is. Aladdin director Guy Ritchie, known for such hits as Snatch and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
A so Man
get,
Called
get
Uncle.
Ready for an adrenaline ride.
Yeah. That's crazy. He's done a bunch of other stuff recently. He did that recent King Arthur thing that wasn't very good. Man Called Uncle From Uncle is really rad, actually. People should see that if they haven't. He did those Sherlock Holmes movies, a bunch of Madonna crap, because he used to be married to her, right? That was a deal for a while. Anyway, he is now known for his Sherlock Holmes 3 in pre-production, and something called Bush.
Oh, that's right.
And Aladdin. So there you go.
Bush. Something called Bush. Is that the band Bush? The brothers finally made up and they're coming out with another album possibly? Well, I doubt
you
it.
You got three options. It's either the band Bush. The beer Bush, the presidential Bush, or the 70s Bush.
I know I'm thinking about it. I think I may be confusing Bush with Oasis. Not musically, but with the band breaking up.
Oh, right. Well, they did break up. Those brothers hate each other now.
Right.
Oasis does. The Gallaghers, they don't like each
other. Oh, yeah. They're not happy. They're not happy at all. I love that. Oh, by the way, Hyper Chick, One Jump Ahead. Is that the name of the song? Because it's like, got to stay one step ahead of the red line.
One
That's not right.
Above the thing, deal, some, and go with the deal stuff. I don't know. I have no idea. This makes no sense.
This is so much fun to walk down that little memory lane.
Well, let me walk you down a lane of space highways. Brian, I know this is going to come as a huge shock to your system, but today's first game on my list is a space game.
What?
It's actually one I've been looking forward to for a while now because I played the original. The original only cost me like $5 and was clearly a small but passionate labor of love by somebody. I didn't know who at the time. And I thought, man, what is this weird game? And it looked like kind of like ass in terms of graphically. It didn't look great the first one. There are worse things to look at, but it didn't look great. And I thought, all right, well, let's see what this Astrox is all about. And that's what it was called, Astrox. And basically, it's a mining, trading sim game that's a lot. I mean, if I'm honest, it's a lot like Eve Online without the online. It's like single-player
Eve.
That
actually sounds good. Because
it
that's
does
probably
sound
the thing
good.
I hate most about Eve.
It's exactly what I wish Eve was. I wish Eve was a game that wasn't a big MMO. I wish it was just a me doing shit in space game. And turns out Astrox was just that. Now, again, it was ugly and it was rough around the edges. But this game had gameplay in droves and really made me feel like I was building just an awesome space pirate empire with upgrading my ships and getting better hardware and better weapons and better mining equipment and more hull space. And I had better engines and then I could go to further away systems and dominate those systems. And it just was a great loop. And I spent hours and hours and hours in that game. This is now in early access. It's the sequel to it. It's called Astrox Imperium. And it does not look like ass this time out. This time
it looks beautiful. I'm even looking at that. What is that? That space gas? What do you call that?
What do you call that? I know what you're saying. Maybe it is space gas. What do you call that?
Space gas. We got particle effects. We've got space gas.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of cool effects. It's got this neat like infrared sort of digital map thing. It does. The old one did not do. The ships are way more detailed. The world, or that is to say the atmospheres and the planets and the stuff around the planets and the debris and the minefields all look a billion times better. Everything looks very nice. And it's got great music and great tone. And it's one of the things I liked about the original. I like it even more now here because it feels like a universe I want to spend some time in.
Right. You know what? You said everything looks beautiful, and I've been skimming through screenshots and things, and I 100% agree. But this game suffers the same thing all of these kind of games suffer from. It's when you interact with other characters and the little character sheet pops up. Why are the characters have to be so ugly? They're always so dang ugly. Is it the space?
I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you what it is. I think it's a very specific kind of skill set / job to do that stuff. And this game is made, this game, and when I tell you this is going to blow your mind, this game is made by one dude.
Get out.
All the programming, all the art, all the stuff, environments, the systems, the music, all of it, one dude. Where did his name go? I had it up in this name. Oh, there it is. Jace Masula, I think is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. He sent me an early access key because I've been commenting and liking his tweets for like a year because I'm super impressed with a dude like this. It really impresses me. So I just keep going, hey, man, I can't wait for your game. Ooh, nice new video. Thanks for putting that out there. And he reached out and said, I just want to thank you for all the support over the last year, and I'm going to give you an early access key. And I said, oh, you don't have to do that. And he says, I really want to. And I said, okay, I'll take it. So I took it.
That's great.
His name is, someone in the chat's asking how to spell it. J-A-C-E, last name M-A-S-U-L-A. Masula, I think is how you would say it.
Masula.
Talked to him since. I'm now on their Discord, so there's been some chatter back and forth talking about, you know, known bugs and what they're working on. But it's in early access, and it's already awesome. I think that it's going to be incredible. I cannot wait for this thing to be
This is out like in about a week and a half, right? March the 20th is when this thing.
Oh, maybe I got it even earlier. I might have gotten it earlier then.
Right.
That's why there's no reviews yet. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
This is the first review you're hearing. So this is Astrox Imperium.
Astrox, A-S-T-R-O-X Imperium. And I would recommend keeping your eye on that release date. It, I don't think it shows price yet, but I'm guessing 15 or under, if I had to guess. And it's just extremely approachable, really detailed, fun spacefaring business. And if you're into that sort of thing, you're gonna love this game. The video I'm showing right now to the chat may look a little spreadsheety. It's only because this is one of his dev videos, and he's going deep into some of the systems that aren't, you know, that are mostly based around like trading and working on your ship and stuff like that.
This is an amazing looking game, and the resources for it is pretty low. The thing that impresses me the most is the storage is under 1 gigabyte.
Yeah,
so
it's small.
The install is under 1 gigabyte.
Yeah, it's small. Well, it doesn't need much, you know. You got a lot of space. You have geometry, but not tons of it.
Right.
The whole game, you don't, you know, when you go into the stations, you don't walk in there.
Right.
You park, you know, you dock, and then you get big menus, and the menues are everything from missions and guys who, like, oh, I need an escort to this system, but there's some pirates there. We got to be careful. Well, I'll give you 6,000 credits if you get me there, that sort of stuff, as well as, like, you know, this is where you can sell off a bunch of ore you just went and mined. There is it's a very point-and-clicky game. That's the other thing. You don't have to navigate your ship like some kind of freaking joystick guy, you know? Like, you don't need a flight stick for this game. You literally are like, oh, I want to mine that asteroid. You might scan it first to find out what the material is, see if it's something you want or not. It doesn't matter. Or in the early game, you're just trying to sell whatever you can get, but I right-click that asteroid, and my ship goes brrr and flies to it. I don't have to do anything special. Like, it's got a great point-and-click auto-dock, you know, like all of that stuff. They get out of your way and just let you play, which is what I like about it.
I like that. It looks good.
So anyway, it's really great.
Jace, I'm coming for you. I'm following you on Twitter. Hey, Jace, I like your game, Jace.
Yeah, tell him you like his game, because he'll tell you back that you should F off and quit stalking him. It'll be great.
Right. I already gave one to Scott.
Tell me about Headlander. I heard about this before, but I never played it. What's the deal with Headlander?
You know, I've seen Headlander before myself, and I was interested back in the day when this originally came out in 2016. Mm-hmm. Hadn't thought much about it until recently. I'm hitting the Game Pass games to see what's on there. Pops up Headlander 2016. It's a Metroidvania style game, so I'm back doing that again this week. And hey, but it was developed by Double Fine. Double Fine's doing this thing, and then Adult Swim. By the way, Adult Swim just has some of the most unique, smaller indie games that they put out there. I always seem, especially the stuff on the Android. There's a bunch of their games that are tied into to the different shows they do and everything. But Headlander,
she has a good space face.
What's that? Oh yeah, this is a space game. This is kind of a space game.
To your point about space face, she has a good space face.
Right. Yeah. She has an excellent space face. This is about all she has, because this is set in the future. This is after the human race has decided that we're going to upload our subconscious to the cloud. Mm-hmm. And so our bodies have languished and went away, and we have instead put our minds and our consciousness into robots, foolhardily as we are as humans. And this Methuselah robotic computer has taken over and is now is controlling us. And so we've been enslaved by our own arrogance. But there's a rogue element that is helping us try to get past this. The character you actually play, you can choose from a few, when you're brought to life and you were cryogenically frozen a long time ago. But the only thing that survived was your head and your brain. So you have no body anymore. Instead, you're this space helmet. You have a head and a space helmet, and you have rockets that come out of your neck hole. Oh, and just like that's how you navigate.
Yeah, that's just how you want it in life. When you lose
that's
your head.
That's how you want it.
Yeah.
So you fly around in your little in your Metroidvania 2.5D screen, and you kind of get to your location, and then you can use this Hoover vac kind of move, and you'll suck a robot's head off of his body, and then you can put yourself right into the robot so that you can get to the next area.
Why didn't I play this? This seems like a thing I want to play. Why didn't I play this?
If you haven't played, I didn't know it. I was the same way, because the style, first of all, visually, the style really got me. This Headlander did. It was immediately reminded me of like advertisements from the 70s, especially like the Atari and different games from that era. Mm-hmm. It had that Logan's Run feel to it,
sure,
you know, kind
sure.
of like it was very much of that time. A lot of browns. So browns and oranges and that kind of thing. Anyway,
I like browns, blues and oranges. My favorite space motifs. That's good.
Yeah, it's a great motif. Mm-hmm. So really the only interaction much that you get directly is you talk to these AI doors that they're constantly harassing you for making it through certain areas, because what you got to do in certain areas, if you want to have access, you have to find the right color robot. And when you do, you attach yourself to that and you get in there, and then you can go through because you'll have lasers, and you shoot the laser at the door and it opens up. I don't know why that makes sense, but it makes sense.
I'm going to have to get this. Why did I not play this when it came out? This seems like something that's just right up my butthole.
Right. Don't get too excited now. So the Game Pass, you can play it for free right now if you have the Game Pass. The price on it right now is actually $20, which is the high end of what you usually get this at. This game drops occasionally to $9.99 and $5. It's been as low as $3.99 on Steam. It is totally worth it, even at $20. I love this Metroidvania game. It is so much freaking fun. It is when you're going through like the regular gated areas where you're running across other so me and you watched Logan's Run on film set, right?
Sure did. Yeah,
we sure did. So if you ever watched Logan's Run, there's like certain areas, like there's like the sex scene area where you kind of walk into a room and everybody's like doing naughty things.
Yeah,
it doesn't go that far, but it's implied. Yeah. And so you get all this weird dialogue going on of that. So you're constantly trying to go through and find the next level person up. And this way, it is very Castlevania. You can't get to certain areas unless you take on that person's body. Mm. So I was getting there. Almost lost it, but I was getting there. The other part, when you go in between areas, sometimes you just have to navigate with your head completely.
Yeah.
And no body at all. Mm-hmm. And you get in areas almost like a dual stick shooter where you have to kind of, or like a bullet hell where you kind of got to kind of navigate through these little maze areas. So it kind of breaks up the Castlevania part.
Does the
of
head
it.
Move like you expect it to? Like it's got
absolutely
know, rotate left and right, do a little thrust, that sort of stuff.
Yep. Well, yeah, it's not that complex, but yeah, it's kind of like that. It's a good feel. It's a good feel. I was worried
man.
That I was going to like...
You know what? I know what's happened here. This is what's happened.
What's that?
I got kind of down on Double Fine for a while.
Yeah.
Because they got all their money for their adventure game, which there was no way that was going to hold up to scrutiny after they got the Kickstarter going and stuff. And it didn't really. It was okay, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't $4 million okay, I thought. but then they had some other games that were being worked on that I was excited about. And then they would cancel those. Like just... There was a space one. I forgot what it was called. Space Station 9 or something like that.
Oh, I forgot about Space
Station. Yeah, and you could do... It was basically a city builder in space, and you manage your astronauts and do all this cool stuff. And it looked and played great. I loved it. I bought in early. I said, here's my $25. Yep, I'm in. You guys are great. Love you guys. Whatever. And then...
Love you guys. Just, love you. Mean it. Following you on Twitter. Love you.
Then they just yanked the carpet out from under that game in like no time flat, and it was dead. It was like, nope, we're not doing that game anymore. Like, oh, great. Well, I'm glad I spent $25 for your shit half-built game. So I got mad at them. And I think if after that, I just got kind of cranky about any news I'd have about Double Fine games. Something would come out, and I'd go, uh-huh, right, sure. I'm guessing that'll never come out or, you know, whatever my problem was. And I probably did that a little too quickly or at the very least, it made it so I'd miss something like this.
Yeah, and they didn't come back around for me until they started doing Kickstarter projects. I think they suffer from their own... you know, ineptitude at that point in time. By the way, it was Space Base DF9.
That's it, DF9. Yeah,
that was it.
Pissed me off. I love that game.
piss me off. Well, you'll love Headlander, man.
I should say I loved it. I should say I loved it, but they never really finished it, so I don't really, really love it. I'm more just sort of, I mean, I really wanted to love it. And it started to be good, and it started getting cool, and then it got dumb. So I don't know. Whatever. I should not hold that against them. They are in a dog-eat-dog world of video games, and I shouldn't be such a pooper. So this looks like one. And you're right. I have seen this on sale before, and why I didn't get it when it was cheap, I don't know.
Yeah, well, probably the same reason, because it's like, it's just a gimmick. It looks so gimmicky. Mm-hmm. It's like,
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
But I had a good bit of playability to it. I played for a pretty good while.
All right. Well, now I'm going to talk about a game. And that's everywhere, by the way. That game's on everything except the Switch.
Oh,
I don't
think
it's on the Switch. Maybe it is. It's on the Switch? Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm going to talk to you fine folks about a game we've talked about on the show before. And I don't remember if it was me, you, or both of us who have talked about it.
Yep, I've talked about it. I had it on the Switch.
That's right. This is a game that just got a giant update, so I felt like it was a good time to bring this up because I am also playing it again. And I think it's in the best shape it's ever been. Technically, it came out in 2015. At the time, I was doing some stuff back and forth with Terpster over there at the Yogscast, and he was sending me free codes to this, so we gave away a bunch of these. It was back when they were launching it. And the game is Armello. And again, we talked about it with Brian probably most recently, but basically it is as digital a version of a board game as you can get, but it's not based on a board game. It's its own game. There is no Armello board game. Video game
needs
just
to,
happens
needs
to be.
I would totally invest into an Armello.
Oh, I would too. I think that's one of the things I come away with after I play it is I'm like, oh my gosh, this translates so well to a tabletop. Like it's shocking that it's not one already. That they base this on that or something. But the reason I bring it up now or again, the core is still there that everybody loved and likes about the series or about the games, no series yet, but just about this game. The difference is with this big update, they just have polished everything to a fine sheen. It is still a beautiful game for a game that's 4 years old now. Plays great. I like the 2D elements in it. I like the 3D world in it. I like the color. I like the night cycle stuff.
I love the Mad King.
Everything feels very tangible, and the sounds everything makes are very like, oh, I got a thing, and it makes me excited to open that thing and to move my dude, and just a very tactile experience, which
I think you're right about the sounds, because they're very recognizable. Like there's like a sword sound that kind of hits, and like, oh, I know what that does, and it's like, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
get you jazzed up.
It's a very tactile in the way that you would want a board game to be. So it feels like pieces and cards, and it feels physical, and like there's heft to things, and that matters to me. And all video games are better when they're like that to me. And this thing is so polished, uses such nice touches here and there. Even right now, I'm looking at one of the 2D fights between the bear and I don't know what that other thing is.
As you see, there a rat, fox, or there's
crow. Maybe.
There's the core set, but you have if you got the more recent thing, then you probably have some additional characters.
Yeah, there's a bunch of characters in there, and the goals vary. But if you played a board game like, I don't know, I can't even think of what to compare this to. I'm not the biggest board game dude, so it's hard for me to do it without sounding like
right. But it absolutely, they captured every bit of it, with even all the way down to the tile pieces. I mean, it's hexagon tile pieces, and you only get so many moves per turn. It feels very, very board game-ish. And it was on sale. Did you pick it up on sale?
No, this past week
is back up to $20, but I picked it up on the PC, because I already had it on the Switch. I picked up on the PC, I think, for like $6 or $7.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, I've owned it since 2015, and so they just update your version. So I got all the sweet new bells and whistles just for having it, which is why I decided to crack it open and play it again, and I was just reminded how cool this game is. So
yeah,
throwing it out there that y'all should launch it and get in there and have some fun with it. It is called Armello, and if you like the idea of a really fun board game style experience but don't feel like doing a bunch of PvP crap, this is your game, because it's definitely single player.
And I like that it's a lot like some games I've played where there's usually only so many turns, because the king has rot, and he's gonna rot after so many days unless someone can get to him first. And usually if you wait until the king rots, and usually the person with the most influence is the next king, because he's going to die regardless, whether you kill him or if not. So I do like the fact that it's usually a very specific rounds. You know, you can kind of know. It's like, oh, I'm going to play a round of Armello and get in and get out, and it's going to take me like 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, it's almost, I wouldn't say it's roguelike, but kind of, you know?
Right.
It's a little bit. Sort of get in, get one in, get out, have some goals next time to beat, accomplish those, like, I don't know. It's got a really fun return to it and keep playing it kind of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of game that if you knock out the campaign stuff, it doesn't really feel like normal campaign. It's right. Stuff you're meant to go do again and try again and do different tactics, and just like a board game, you open it up and play it differently the next time, that sort of thing. So anyway, it's pretty rad. Check it out. That's Armello.
Why are we not playing multiplayer on this game?
I don't know. Why aren't we? Can you? I didn't think could. Does this have multiplayer?
Yeah, can't you? Absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never played it.
Yeah, yeah. Online. Yeah, maybe not back in the day, but yeah, online multiplayer.
Is it co-op?
Absolutely a thing.
Co-op or?
I don't know. No, it's not co-op. We play against each other. You pick one of the, it's a four corners kind of game, and you pick a corner, I pick a corner, and then I guess we have, if nobody else is there, I guess maybe some bots fill in. I don't know. Or maybe we got to fill the whole room.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right, just found this next video from you. You made this, it looks like. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I made this one. So you might want to skip past this the first few seconds of it. I recorded this on my Xbox One using the, and then uploaded it using Upload Studio.
Whoops. Oh, okay. So this is off an Xbox is what I'm watching here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is cool.
Okay. All right, we won't hear about it.
I wish they didn't put all this freaking header stuff up here because it crops it funny. It's fine though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
so
I uploaded that to my OneDrive because I'm still mad at YouTube.
Yeah, anyway. That's fair enough. What is this? Right. I don't even know what this is. It's very old school looking. What is this?
Oh, it is very old school looking. Hey, did you ever play Castlevania 3?
Yes.
On NES? Yeah, you like that?
I did.
Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon.
Oh, I heard is about like, this.
Yeah, this is like the spiritual successor. Oh my God, how are they not getting sued? They must have made some kind of agreement with the devil because this looks so much like where they picked up off of Castlevania 3. It's not even, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. It is also, to me, frustratingly hard. Not as hard as the original Castlevania games, but still, you forget how stupid hard these games are.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so easy to get, it's like, oh man, if I time that just wrong, I get a life hit. And next thing you know, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and then you have to start back like way back. You know what I mean? Not like a little save point. You don't have to start completely all the way back, but a lot of times it's a long travel to get back.
Oh, yeah.
To where you're looking.
I mean, this guy, from what I understand, this is also a very small team, maybe one or two dudes.
It is.
They said the same thing. They basically just came out and said, look, this is totally a, not a ripoff, but this is our love letter to Castlevania 2 and 3, so we hope you're...
Inti Creates Company, INTI. This came out in 2018, is currently available. I want to say if you have the Xbox Live, this is one of those few games that you got, a couple of games you got in March, or maybe it was in February. I think I said on this one for about a month, because I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to play Metroidvania, then I want to play Castlevania.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
It's fun watching you avoid these fireballs poorly.
The fireballs are the worst. I swear, man. You'll hear two different stories about this game as far as how it controls.
Uh-huh.
Some people say it controls perfectly, which means it probably controls a lot like Castlevania used to. To me, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst. I hate these kind of controls because it's very there's not a lot of directional places you can go.
Well, it's pretty stiff, right? It's always a stiff.
It's very, very stiff.
Yeah.
And you think you hit the button, you think you timed it right, and you didn't. Every time I get smacked right in the face by those stupid fireballs. One of the things I do like about this game that elevates it kind of a little bit above Castlevania is these huge boss fights that you fight, because those bosses take up the whole screen.
Yeah.
I didn't get as far as I wanted to in this game, but you get a chance to play as several different characters. I played as Zhang Shu, and he's got kind of a whip action kind of thing, and he's got like a sword mostly. So he's mostly you're getting in there and attacking stuff with a sword.
All right. Oh, it's Irigashi who worked on Castlevania, says Tondragosa. So yeah. Actual people that worked right. on that game. Okay, okay.
Exactly. That's the real story.
So hold
that's
on a second. Story. I just realized something. That microphone makes it look like you're about to sing a karaoke song or something. I love it.
Yeah.
Look at him. You're going to rap, too? Maybe you're going to rap.
That's what I do. Well, I don't have my, I usually have my swing arm that comes over, but I don't have that here today. So I just got my, you know, my living on a prayer.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to see you tonight. Thanks for coming out. Right. You can do like a stand-up routine. It's fantastic.
That's right.
I like
it. Right. I had to kind of keep close to the mic, but I want to bounce around a little bit. So, you know, it's good.
Don't go changing, Brian. Do not go changing.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
All right. Before we get to Guess My Game, you're starting a new little project you wanted to mention. You want to tell folks about it?
Sure. I did a little poll the other day. I have a Patreon, which I'm trying to amplify. Just kind of get it, just grow just a little bit more than where it's at now. And so I've decided I was going to do a couple little small projects, and I put a poll out the other day, and one of those was My Gaming Life, which is just that the pitch is just where I've been, where how it all started, where I'm at now, and where I see it all ending. So I'm going to do a little probably a little anywhere between 5 and 10 part series on my gaming experience. And I've already started doing some interviews. I found out that I game solo a lot. I play solo a lot, but I play in tandem with other people playing at the same time,
sure.
those same games.
Sure.
And so I have a lot of interviews that I'm going to do, and see if they remember the gaming experience like I did. And I'm starting with my dad because he was the one who, got me into video gaming. I was probably like 4 or 5, and he brought home one of the Pong machines.
Oh, man.
Probably an Atari Pong. Mm-hmm. And that was my first gaming experience, as well as his. And so we're going to get together probably this week, and we're going to kind of rehash that and see how our memories
So, like, the
up.
Pong, like the standalone console Pong, like straight-up right. Atari Pong. Oh, that's cool.
Little black box, little paddles and stuff. So
that's great.
We're going to see how that turns out. It's going to be fun.
I'm into it. All right, well, this is all a very great idea. Let's now play this game.
It's a me, Mario!
It's time to play Guess Our Game, or Guess This Game, and both of us get some audio together that is based on a game that we know or love or whatever that we want to try to stump each other with. We don't tell each other what it's going to be, and I'm going to start this week. This one's tricky, I think. I will give you the hint that it is in the PS1 era. One of the games that I loved the most from that time. And I played the tar out of it, mostly multiplayer with friends. And I used to have so much fun, it was ridiculous. One of the most high-octane good times ever. So, here's your preview. See if you can guess what this is, Brian.
He didn't go very far.
No. Okay, listen to this part. That part. See, that alone would tell me what it is, but...
Yeah, that's... That is really familiar.
Some racing going on.
Oh, my gosh. See, right, at first it reminded me of, like, not Crazy Taxi, but it almost sounds like the Simpsons version of that.
How about this one?
See, that sounds more like a motorcycle.
Oh, my gosh. These sounds are so embedded in my head. It's just like it's right here
again. That is really familiar, but I just can't place my finger on it.
I'll give you another hint. Codemasters made it.
Codemasters. Okay, so... I mean, it's not Dirt Rally or nothing, but it's...
No, way before that. We wouldn't get Dirt or Dirt. Those Dirt games didn't come till Xbox One,
right.
I'm going to say.
I mean, so you say PS1, if you had said Microsoft, and I would have said Motocross Madness or something, but...
Well, you'd be right in that it's the right... Well, how do I explain this? Okay, there are newer versions of it, I should say that. The PlayStation 4, for example, has a version. I've not seen it. I haven't tried it. I'm terrified, actually, because I don't know how it holds up, how it could possibly hold up to my memory of it. But let me check the chat and see if they've got it. Oh, Tondragosa nailed it. Don't look at him, though.
Did he really?
Yeah. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, please, because I'm not going to get it.
Micro Machines. Specifically, Micro Machines. Is it R3? Hold on. I got to look at the video.
I forgot that they did that. That is, oh, wow. That seems like a million years ago.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. V3, it's called. Because before this, there were Micro Machines games. They were based, or you'd see them on the SNES had a Micro Machines game. I don't know if Genesis based ever had one or not.
Based on the toys, did you used to have the Micro Machine toys?
Oh, yeah. I bought the games all the time. Or I had the little cars like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But the game was very good. It was like this top-down racer with really great controls, and you would ride, you would race these cars in really creative situations that looked like a 10-year-old kid built it in his backyard or at school or, you know, in the house, on the kitchen table while his mom wasn't looking or whatever. And then you would race through these courses and you'd jump over stuff and ride, you know, drive a, you have to jump over a stack of matches or a bunch of rulers or the ruler's an actual bridge, like in this video I'm showing to the chat right now.
And the Micro Machines, if I remember correctly, they were like the spring wound type cars. They were a little bitty, but you could, couldn't you pull them back and let them go?
I think it depended on the, oh, that's a great question. Yeah. Now I don't
remember. There was also a penny racer that you would stick a penny in the back of the car and it would like do little tricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was something like that. You're right. I think there was more interaction there. But there was also just a ton of collectibles that were just like Matchbox cars. They were just little. So, for example, this one's, there's this track loading right now for this video for people watching live called The Main Course. And it's basically it's a kitchen table all set for dinner. And you're riding around on top of breadsticks and like peas and carrots are lining the table to create a road so you know where to stay in the lanes. There's a fork and spaghetti, and like you can fly off the edge of the ceiling by accident. Oh, I should mention there are also power-ups, kind of not quite Mario Kart style, but kind of like that, like weird power-ups that let you like smash the guy in front of you with a hammer or push somebody out
now,
of the way.
Now, dude, if this was online multiplayer, I would be all about this. Is that what's coming?
Well, I think the PS4 version might support that, but I don't actually know. I've not played it. Like I said, it kind of came when I wasn't paying attention, and if I had known, I probably would have jumped on it. I'll still probably check out how that thing did, like critically, see if it's any good or not. And it's entirely possible that this entire series, including the 16-bit stuff, is totally a nostalgia trip for me, and that's it. Like, I may be wrong, you know, that it's any good at all. But, man, we've spent so much time playing this game. The races were quick. You could play head-to-head on one screen with five or six of you or whatever it was. I bought extra controllers for this thing with the multi-tap controller thing so that we'd have as many people in there as possible. I want to say that was like six people. And you could play all on the same TV and no split screen. Your cars were either kept up or they were knocked out of the race. Like, it was a very intense competitive thing, and I loved it. Oh, my gosh, I loved it.
That's what makes karts racing so much fun, when you do that kind of stuff. Just ratchet up the intensity.
Yeah. And there's a lot of games now that are, like the chat room saying, there's a lot of games that people sort of were inspired by Micro Machines, and now you can go get a million phone games or other things that are sort of based on this. But nothing quite captured the... I think it was the attention to track detail that I loved. And even though it's PS1 and everything's kind of ugly... It just felt like a kid made these tracks, which is what you want it to feel like, right? You want it to feel like, oh, here we are on the beach, and he just flew over a bottle of suntan lotion, and you know, and his mom's other crap he's not supposed to be getting into. He made part of the track out of it.
Look. Okay, this is more 80s stuff here, but come on, if you were a kid during the 90s, you got to be able to relate, because you saw some weird crap. I mean, you had Capri Sun commercials, right?
Oh yeah, heck yeah. Course.
Yeah, you know weird stuff.
Yeah, I know, but the purple stuff, I know about that.
That's right.
Also, let's see, what year was this? 97? 98? So it was relatively, well, a couple years into the PS1 cycle, and I just loved it. It was so much fun, and, you know, I can look at it now and admit that it looks like a butthole. It's not a pretty game. Like all PS1 games, they just don't look good.
Oh yeah, well, like I got to get back to playing my PlayStation Classic to let you really know what a butthole looks like on high def.
Now that would have been it. If that game was included in that bundle or in that thing, I probably would have got one.
No brainer.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, everybody's always talking about, oh, you should mod it. I'm like,
I know. Apparently, the hardware in there's not great though. Even if you mod it, like, you're better off buying like any of the other ones, and you'll get a better thing to hack.
You'd be better off modding the NES Mini.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's got a faster chip in there.
True story.
From what I understand. Anyway, I liked it. It was great. y'all should play Micro Machines if you get a chance. Brian, here's your clip. Let's see if I can figure out what this is. Here we go.
Oh, this one's tough. This one's going to be hard.
It's not that 7-Up Spot game, is it?
Yeah, you know what? We always guess that. I think that music is just... 7-Up Spot must have really nailed that.
It must have.
Time frame. Yeah. Right. Originally came out in 1998 for the PlayStation.
PlayStation 1.
So it was both... Yeah, so it was both in the PlayStation era this past week. I thought this would be a really easy one for people to guess, but then I started listening to the sounds. I'm like, oh, I don't... These sounds sound really...
Chickens.
Yeah, this is not what really sold this game, apparently.
Wait a minute, let me think. Was it popular? People liked it?
Oh, it was hugely popular and just made a huge splash back again for a little nostalgia's sake. My son Andrew is playing it currently.
If he's playing it currently, it's got to be that dragon Spyro.
You got it, Spyro.
Spyro the dragon. That's it.
That's it, Spyro, the first Spyro. Okay. Man, I thought when I was like, oh, I'm gonna play this, and it's gonna be, you know, the sounds are gonna be so memorable, and it's just gonna be super easy. But I started listening, I was like, man, this is not what drove that game. It was the visuals.
Yeah, the visuals were cool. Even for that time, they looked pretty neat, I thought.
Right.
That new one. How is that new one? It's just like a remaster, right?
It's just a remaster. Yeah. It's good. It's good. If you like the original, you'll like more of this.
Well, there you have it. That's our game. Hope you enjoyed it. Time for us to hit a news story that I think is sort of interesting. Harry Potter Wizards Unite is coming out.
Right.
So if you don't know what this is, I'll tell you what it is. There was a teaser trailer last year. Pokemon Go developer Niantic has revealed more about its next AR game. This is the next big game in the series of things they're going to do that are like Pokemon Go-ish. This one's called Harry Potter Wizards Unite. It's co-developed by WB Games under the Portkey Games label. Wizards Unite takes Pokemon Go's foundation, puts a wizarding world spin on it, but where Pokemon Go is largely about collecting, Wizards Unite is focused on immersing you in the world, from a voice-acted story to involved RPG-like skill trees. They went to their San Francisco offices, the GameSpot folks did, to learn more about it. They say Unite includes their time there included a hands-on demo of the game. The Pokemon Go parallels are front and center, using, instead of Pokestops, for example, you use greenhouses and inns where you can get various items. The map works the same way, but
I'd like to get a butter beer over here, please.
It says here, to fit the theme, crooked buildings dot the map as owls fly overhead. So like a lot of weird buildings that the muggles can't see. You can see.
Right. I like that idea. Yeah. That's cool.
It says it also includes some of the quality of life features Pokemon Go out over time, AR Plus, a photo mode, and at least the promise of a better battery life optimization. So right. I want to see what this is when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm interested in this. I'm afraid that it's not going to go. I'll tell you, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is a huge world in which to play, but I've played some Harry Potter games in the past, and I always end up going too far. I like to stick with the primary characters, and I just can't get much deeper than that. However, I would like to see them go further with this to do Fantastic Beasts, but I think I'm probably the only person in the world that would even care.
Well, it seemed like that's what they were going to do when they announced this. Everyone thought it would be like, oh, Fantastic Beasts and how to capture them, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're going a different way. In fact, I saw some screenshots where like I would be holding a wand and zapping whatever creatures in front of me. And on the other side of that, Harry or Ron or somebody's helping me. So it's like
I look forward to people, Wingardium Leviosa and stuff with their phones. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
In the wild.
It could be really interesting. It could be total crap. I don't know. Depends. Maybe, you know, who knows how much WB wants to put their stinky fingers in this, like if they want to get too control-y.
You know, WB has had a great track record of disappointing me.
Yeah, they have a tendency to do that sometimes.
Right.
Not always. Occasionally they'll have something rad, but I mean, Mad Max Fury Road doesn't exist without Warner Brothers, so.
Right.
Thanks, fellas.
Oh, there's good stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Just in the video game arena, they've disappointed me more than once.
Law of video game arena. All right, moving on to an email. This came to us at boopshow@gmail.com. from Spooky Tooth. Spooky Tooth.
He says, Push it.
He says, hey, Scott, I often hear the two of you and Patrick Beja, claim the virtues of subscription services. I feel like I may have lost touch as this business model seems like a completely unsustainable fad to me, kind of like multi-level marketing companies. I don't know. Some of those are still going, man. I don't know if I'd call them unsustainable. I mean, they suck, but whatever. Anyway, says, already there are far too many to mention. It's become so bad that now YouTube is even advertising Nespresso subs to me for my morning coffee machine. I mean, Amazon, Netflix, Sony, Microsoft, Humble Bundle, and Origin, that's just the beginning. Yeah, that doesn't really name them all at all. Not to mention things like Blue Apron, Loot Crate, and Dollar Shave Club, to name a few. I know the 1% can afford 50 subs a month, but even considering one or two is already a big decision for most. Can this really be the future of gaming and tech? Regards, Spooky Tooth. Well, I have a feeling on this, or I have a take on this. I don't think anyone expects anybody to do all 50. The whole idea is that these companies are all trying to get in early and get your devotion, and some will and some won't. I'd have a really hard time canceling Netflix because it gives me the most bang for my buck. But I don't mind canceling HBO for most of the year because there's only a couple shows I care about. And when they come back, I'll maybe sub and get them and get out. So I wouldn't look at this as like a hard commitment for anybody. That's the thing I think where people screw up on this. You're not meant to do 50 subscriptions. You're meant to go to one of them and go, oh, I really like this one, and stick with it for a while. And if you get tired of it, you cancel it and you try somebody else's. Or if somebody else's is just as good and you want to try both, well, maybe you try both and you leave it to two, but one of them is going through a dry spell in the summer and you're like, well, I'm going to just cancel that for 3 months. And I'll come back to it maybe. Right. Like, that's the difference. Unlike cable subscriptions in the past or things where you had to lock in for 2 years, these all, for the most part, in fact, all of them, where they, you know, they have some exceptions for like buy a year and save so much money a month or whatever. But for the most part, it's all get in, cancel when you want. And I think that's good for us. The choice is okay. Yeah. It doesn't mean that all 50 vying for your stuff are going to last. I think a lot of them will fall by the wayside or sell off to others or consolidate into something else. It'll be rare for somebody like, you know, Disney's about to launch their own. That's rare. That's not going to be the norm. Somebody to be able to compete in that space. So I think the people that give you what you get the value for, let's say one of these services, should get your money. And if somebody else comes along and says, hey, what about us? Cancel the one, try them. It won't cost you anymore. In fact, in some cases, less, because the other service is less trying to compete. Like, you don't need to subscribe to all 50, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Spooky Tooth makes a good point, though. Is it sustainable? And so the question is, will people's habits kind of float back to a consolidated service? Mm. It's like, okay, well, I want the Netflix, Hulu / whatever bundle. Will we get so lazy that managing all that stuff becomes a chore? I don't know, but I think that this is the best time I've had with video games in forever. The PlayStation Plus and doing the Xbox Game Pass. I have been playing so many games in the Humble Bundle. I've been playing so many more games. And when I look at it, I used to buy about a video game a month.
Yeah.
I'm spending about that now, but I'm playing tons of video games.
Yeah, way more and than I, you have spent.
Before, yeah, and I don't get nearly as ticked off when there's one or two bad games. So I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's easy to look at it and say there's so many, but there's so much value in each one, at least potentially. So when you find the one that fits you, you're just swamped with stuff for less money than you used to have to pay for a single game.
I get where he's coming from, because it does feel overwhelming.
I think that's more like just change bugs people. And I'm not throwing this in. I'm not saying Spooky Tooth is being a cranky old man yelling at the sky. I don't mean that. I just mean there is a tendency for us as humans to go, what's all this then? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And really at the end of it, it's like, no, this is good. Like, this is good. It's vibrant. It's growing. I think it is sustainable. Not maybe for all of them. Somebody's going to suck it. Like, who is the streaming service everybody loved and then they went away and got absorbed to somebody else? It was like a high-end video thing where it was like...
Right.
What was that called?
There's been a lot of...
Shit.
Let's go back to Blockbuster when they tried to do their thing. How's that sound?
Yeah. But they
face planted hard on that one.
Yeah, they did. But it's all about the content and where you're going to get it. And if it's good, it's good. And if it's not, it's not.
The problem I see is the fracturing right now. It's, well, we talked about it a million times.
It's not even fracturing. Right. To me, it's like, all right, Game Pass, I think, is one of the best deals in the, in gaming anyway, because it's like Netflix for gaming. Now, it's not necessarily as large of a library, but I think that's going to grow and do great for them. It's a really good value for your money. And so that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for tons of TV, tons of old movies, tons of new movies, and tons of original content, you go to Netflix. And they're giving you so much stuff. And if that's not good enough, look at Hulu for a minute and decide if that's okay. Or you're already paying Prime shipping at Amazon, so you're already getting that one. Maybe that's the only one you need. Like, there's so many possibilities and options. Whereas if they're missing something, okay, we'll rent this one. At the end of the day, you're spending less per month. I know I am. I get way more stuff with subscription services.
Way more.
And I don't have them all. I only have... I mean, here's what I have. When the Game of Thrones is on, I have HBO. So I have that have that coming up. Netflix, Hulu, and then Prime comes with Prime. I already had Prime, whether they have that or not. So that, to me, I consider that an add-on value. So I didn't go out of my way to subscribe to it for video. I already had Prime for shipping. So... those are my three like entertainment sources. I tried Shudder for 7 days.
Yeah.
Liked it okay. There weren't enough good horror movies. So I said, eh, not worth it. I canceled it before I had to pay. What else? I tried BritBox for a couple of weeks, which is all British comedies and old British stuff. Pretty cool. But again, I feel like I get a lot of that stuff on Netflix. So not really a good value for me. So I quit doing it. I think the... when there are a couple of big rad games happening over at EA, which right now maybe not so much except for Apex, which is free, then that's a great time to go to that place and get the full meal deal over there because that's a really good value. I've talked about it on the show before. Right now it's not for me, so I don't get it. So I'm only really paying for three subscription services. Oh, and PlayStation Plus. Those are my that's my fourth.
Way cheaper than you ever paid for DirecTV. Yeah. I can guarantee it.
Oh, and World of Warcraft. I forgot about that.
No, oh, well, yeah.
It's different, though, right?
That's different. That's not the same.
It's not a buffet. It's a it's a table with the same meat on it.
for 15 years.
Yeah, but all of that combined, I'm still spending less than I used to for cable and buying video games alone. That used to be way more than that. Now I pay less than that, and I have way more of everything. It's insane. Yeah. You got to look at it this way, or else I think you're missing half the point. And Spooky Tooth, I totally get it. I get the apprehension, but I think it might be misplaced. I've had the same apprehension. I think mine has been misplaced. I think it just it's going to shake out and be what it's going to be, and I think it's actually a good thing. So we'll see. All right, that's it for your emails. You can send us an email at boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at boopshow, or you can leave us a voicemail. We love those, so please send us a voicemail. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. And if you're looking for our website, it's at frogpants.com/boop. Now, normally, we do some game giveaways today. We're not today because Brian's got to work on his shed. And that's not bad. It's a good thing.
I'm working on my house.
Oh, your house. He's got to work on his house.
We had an inspector come today, and Inspector Gadget said, No, he said, you need to scrape this off because it may have lead paint in it.
Oh, geez.
And I said, okay.
All right. That's no fun. Nobody likes lead paint except
no,
Chinese
toy makers. I'm not actually doing it, but I am supervising.
Well, so you're going to be busy doing that, and we do have games to give away. There hasn't been time. I'll tell you what. If you come back tomorrow for my live stream of Outlast 2, which I'm hopefully getting toward the final quarter of.
Dude, I'll come too.
I will do some midway show giveaways for people that show up for that. And we'll do
a bunch
of them.
Call me in.
Yeah, I'll call you in. That's what I'll do. Yeah. I'll call you in. Are you going to be home? You're going to be home.
Yeah, I should be home. Okay. What time?
Well, it's in the morning.
At 5 Eastern time.
It's at, I usually do it in the morning, though. So if you're at work,
that's fine. I may be at work. Just check me out.
I'll ping you. Watch the Slack and I'll let you know. Because it should be fun. We do it from noon my time till 2 my time, which is 2 year time to 4 year time.
That might be good.
But even if you just popped in for like a minute in the middle of it all or something.
That's right.
That'd be great.
We'll figure it out.
We'll see what happens. We'll give you guys some stuff. Yes, it's called Scream Live, the Wraith 86. That's the name of my stream. So come on back for that. Frogpants.tv tomorrow at noon. Okay, I think we're done. Are we done? Brian, you got anything you want to say that I didn't say?
Dude, we talked so much this past hour. I have enjoyed it. Did we do one last week? I feel like I was like video game constipated. Like, I need to get all this out. Wow. And it felt good.
I don't remember. Did we? Maybe we did. Did we do a show last week?
I think we did. Maybe we missed the week before that. I don't know. Maybe it's just we know. Just got, I don't know.
Oh, that's what it was. The week before we missed. We were there last week, though. Yeah. We were there. And we should be here next week. So yeah, come back then. Enjoy yourselves while we're all enjoying ourselves. Check Brian out at The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Find me at Scott Johnson. And like I said, the show at Boop Show. And the website, of course, is frogpants.com/boop, where all these details are contained therein. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and anyone else who cares to have their name said. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.